Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Perceptive Podcast here on Game Wisdom, where we examine the art and science of games. We have another great cast for you this week. Unfortunately, James couldn't make it on for this one, but we have a new guest and we're going to be talking about a previous topic, and that is the work that goes into sound design for games. This is an area for a lot of people, especially those on the student or consumer side, who may not think about all that much, but it's still a fascinating aspect of creating some of the most popular games. And we have a special guest with us tonight. He is a composer who has been scoring films like Limitless, Despicable Me 2, and he also did the composing for the game Battlefield Hardline. But for today's cast, he's here to talk about the work that he's done on the, by the time you're hearing it, very recently released Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 3. So please welcome to the podcast, Paul Leonard Morgan.
Hey, although I can't hear the applause coming in, but hey.
Not yet, I'm afraid. But how are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing good. Bit tired, bit of a late one on a couple of soundtracks, but yeah, all good. Ready to rock.
Awesome. So, since this is your first time on the cast, for people listening who may not have heard about yourself or about the work that you've done, could you talk a little bit about your background when it comes to composing?
Sure. So, I mean, my background was kind of producing bands and doing film soundtracks. Mm-hmm. So, I know you said kind of Limitless. I did a film about 4 years ago, I think it was, called Dread, mm-hmm. which was how I kind of started this conversation, I guess, with the Dawn of War guys. And yeah, I've kind of worked with a lot of bands. I'm from Glasgow, where there's a big, big music scene. So yeah, there's a lot of cool bands like Mogwai and Bell and Sebastian and Snow Patrol years ago and Texas. And yeah, just various guys, really. Started doing soundtracks, kind of got a couple of BAFTAs, and then yeah, came over here to LA now, where I am at the moment. Did this film Limitless and say, and then Dread, and then so it's been quite busy since then, really. So, but I think, yeah, I think the interesting thing with the different stuff is a lot of people always say, oh, do you just do soundtracks or do you just do bands? And mm-hmm. for me, I just like doing different things. I did a theatre thing last year for the National Theatre in London, and that was all string quartets and very worthy stuff. And I like doing things. I find that different soundtracks and different bands, they all feed into each other. And certainly with Dawn of War, mm-hmm. one of the things I've realized is that every single skill that I've got has really come to the front, whether it's sampling, whether it's drum beats, whether it's creating sounds, whether it's whatever. It's been an absolutely insane year and a half of work mm-hmm. creating a sound which I don't think I've ever heard before. It's quite unique.
What attracted you to doing composing for video games, Paul?
It's something so completely different and so intense and such a different way of working to film soundtracks. Mm-hmm. The film soundtracks, you're writing specifically to pictures. So someone goes and punches someone, or someone goes for a chase, or there's very specific timings that you're going for. Mm-hmm. And that timing never changes. Whereas game soundtracks, that it's non-linear. The piece of music that you're writing, you're never going to hear the same front end or the same back end. It's on the loop, and it's got to have enough energy and enough interest and enough difference tonally and color and so on that it keeps the interest up for the person playing and that they're not aware of it, but it's also incredibly complicated. So I like setting myself little challenges in the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like one of the interesting parts about composing for a video game compared to a film or another medium. And I've spoken to a few other composers over the last few years about this, that, as you said, Paul, when it comes to a video game, it's not a linear sequence of events. Like, in the sense of what you said with a film, at, let's say, the 30-minute mark, someone's going to get punched in the face, or there's a car chase. But when it comes to video games, for a lot of game soundtracks, it's based on events or triggers. We were talking about this before the cast, but for those of you listening, for a lot of video games, the different changes or the different sound cues comes from what's happening in the game, such as you walk in a room and a window slams shut behind you in a horror game, that could trigger a different music response compared to if you're playing a military shooter and you're running through a building and all of a sudden a missile hits the building and causes a giant explosion in the wall.
Yeah, and then when that happens, mm-hmm. again, when I get too geeky, just tell me to shut up. but when that happens, you basically write a piece of music that consists of a typical piece on this kind of soundtrack. There are obviously different kind of soundtracks. If you do Grand Theft Auto, mm-hmm. it's just a bunch of tracks playing one off the yeah. other. Whereas how this works is that I write a track, and it's set in different layers. So layer A is the track's maybe 3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Layer A is where you switch on the game mm-hmm. and you start playing, and there's not an awful lot of happening. So it's quite ambient, mm-hmm. it's quite thin, but it's still got to have enough interest that when you've been playing it for 30 minutes and aren't going anywhere, you're not getting bored of it. And then layer two, you have a trigger. So suddenly, I don't know, an orc comes from behind or something comes from behind mm-hmm. the rock. You start then that trigger in the game, then triggers layer two to start fading up. And layer two's maybe got a bit more tension mm-hmm. or a few beats or a bit of a bass line or whatever. Then layer three, as we're getting into a battle and the battle's getting thicker, so we're trying to make it more tense. So then we're adding some more big percussion and maybe some weird dissonance mm-hmm. and some guitars and so on. And it's a case of kind of mixing and matching all those layers to keep the interest up, depending on what's happening in the game. And obviously, when you're playing Dawn of War, there are so many different options mm-hmm. of what you can do. There are millions of different permutations of how this music can hear. And I think that's the hard thing. It's not like writing a track which has just got six tracks, a bass, a guitar, some keyboards. Mm-hmm. There are thousands of synths in this thing. I mean, you look at something when we were mixing it, I think one of the tracks had 450 tracks in it. Mm. Yeah, and hopefully you won't realize that when you're playing. You're just feeling it. But it's got to be a combination of those tracks which keeps it tense. And of course, mm-hmm. what you're also trying to do, you say, why did I like doing video game soundtracks? Because you are creating a sound for this universe, yeah. which has never been heard before. And that took 3 months. I would say the first 3-4 months, just creating sounds and looking at kind of rough sketches that they sent me and rough storyboards of different planets and so on and the different races so that I could get my head into it. So I like being immersed by all of these pictures and everything that's going on in the world so I can start living and breathing this world and trying to create a texture and a sound palette which feels right for it.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, about creating the soundtrack and the music for this fantasy world compared to like game like Battlefield Hardline, which takes place, in contemporary, cops versus robbers kind of setting. And I wanted to ask you about that, not only from a lore or a world point of view, but also from a genre point of view as well. But let's start with the lore first. Obviously, for those of you listening, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 3 takes place in the Warhammer universe, and obviously is not our real world, thankfully, not yet. But for you, Paul, as you said, it took you about three of just like coming up with like the idea of how you wanted to compose the music for this setting. What was that kind of process like?
Well, I think the difference between something like Battlefield Hardline was Battlefield Hardline, I knew it was going to be quite a bandy kind of soundtrack. We'll do something really different for Battlefield mm-hmm. so that typically Battlefield had been quite synth, quite techno, fantastic soundtracks that it had. And what we're trying to do with Hardline was trying to do something unexpected for that. But I knew it's quite obvious if you've got a guitar, what you're going to be doing, or you've got Josh Freese, the Nine Inch Nails drummer in for that one. And you know the kind of sound that you're going to have. Warhammer, I mean, what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
So there are so many different ways. And I was asked the other day by some fans, what did I think of the other soundtracks? And I said I intentionally hadn't listened to them, not because I wasn't interested, but because I didn't want to be, derogatory is the wrong phrase, but trying to be influenced mm-hmm. by other ideas from it. I wanted to do something, again, completely different. And the guys up at Relic in Vancouver said the same. They said, look, mm-hmm. just trust your instinct and go for it. And they'd said, we like some of your Dread soundtrack. I was like, well, you do, but it's not right for this, but I know what you're talking about. And it's this soundtrack is nothing like Dread, but it's always an interesting starting point because people say, oh, I don't understand music, or I can't express myself in music. But you can. You've just got to say, oh, I like that sound and I like that sound. Mm-hmm. And I think for me with Warhammer, what I wanted to do was take a lot of analog sounds mm-hmm. but blend them in such a way that this could be set in a million years in advance, 5 million years in advance, or 5 million years mm-hmm. ago. It doesn't matter. It's mythological, yeah. and it's a completely all-encompassing setting where you get soaked in. You see people playing Warhammer. They get soaked into this mm-hmm. universe. And it, yeah, so for me, that was it. And I mean, some of the sounds I've created to begin with, you're presenting them to these guys and going, so this might be a little bit too far out, but see what you think of it. I took an orchestra, distorted it, blended it with an old 1980s Moog, and that was my lead line for it. And I was going, this is either totally, because after living and breathing it for 3 months, you're suddenly like, I think this is good, but I'm not sure because I haven't really spoken to anyone recently. I've been in the dark of the studio. And they were loving it, saying, all right, this is great, this is great. I mean, there was a part of it, one of the planets, again, without giving too much away, one of the planets is slightly more closer to what I would say Earth is than a completely alien foreign planet. So I wanted to create a sound that was quite unique to that universe and that would maybe make it feel a little bit more natural rather than a lot of the harsh environments that we have in Dawn of War. So I went up to the hills in Ventura, it's just outside Los Angeles, and took a microphone and a laptop and just recorded birds singing and what sounded to me like crickets. I don't know if they were crickets or not, but a lot of weird stuff as the sun was coming up. And it was so weird. It was the most incredible sunrise. And one of the pictures that I had was of a sunrise in the planets, but in a completely different way. It was a very harsh environment. And I was looking over here going, this is absolutely beautiful. I'm looking over Los Angeles and I'm recording these just nature. So then I came back to the studio, took all that nature sound, totally mucked around with it, sampled it, added it on reverbs, put it at different pitches, and created little loops out of it. And I didn't tell anyone this. And the first thing that James, the head of audio at Relic, turned around and said, there's something about these drums that just make it feel more natural. And I was like, I don't believe this. It works on a subconscious level. Even though you probably won't hear it through all of the gunfire, all of these elements together, they're really important because it means that subliminally and subconsciously people are soaking this up without realizing it.
Yep. And as you said, when you're playing a game like Dawn of War 3, you are going to be intently staring at the screen for however long the matches are. And it's a very similar to when we see people play a Battlefield game competitively. But as a strategy fan, like, I've tried my hand at doing things competitively, and that whole field is gone to me. I will never be a competitive strategy player, but it is just there's a lot to absorb when you're playing a game like this. And for anyone listening, I'm sure for you folks who have played like StarCraft or the previous 40K game, you can certainly attest to that. I guess for you, Paul, when you're coming up with the soundtrack and the tracks for Dawn of War 3, how did you, I guess, factor in like the game itself in terms of like being a real-time strategy game into the music you were composing, or did you?
So I think, again, going back to coming up with the sound to begin with, for me, it doesn't matter whether you're on a soundtrack or a band or a film soundtrack or a video. So the most important thing is coming up with what I call a color palette, how I've just described it, coming up with sounds that are relevant to that universe. And after you've found that, it's relatively easy to start coming up with, whether it's tunes or longer tracks. That's the easy part. The hard part is coming up with the sound. And that's fact, when I've been working on the trailer for Dawn of War 3, the launch trailer, which kind of broke God knows how many records on YouTube when it launched, the place just went crazy. They're like, this music's insane. And and I was going, thank God, because this is how I've been doing the soundtrack. I'd never done a trailer before, so I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was that the sounds I were using were pretty unique, and it was dark. It was really dark. Yeah, and again, you're wanting to stay faithful in the sense that you want to stay faithful to all of these people that have played it over the years. You don't want to offend people, but you're trying to bring it up to date as well. And having not researched the original music, I didn't know how different it was to the other soundtracks. So you're going back about the RTS games and how it works. I think that the strategy games, when you're in there, Lynn Gardner, who worked hand in hand with me, she's up at Relic, and she would put all my music in the game. She's the one that will come up with a lot of the sound design and put in all the triggers. So she starts playing with all the tracks that I'm sending her, really. And she would get back in touch and say, look, we would describe as a hole here, which is that in one of the layers, I'm missing a few sounds. So can you add a few more sounds here? And whether it's sound design or whether it's music. But I think that was when I realized, I flew out to Vancouver later on and I saw her playing for about an hour, and she was awful. As you kept just like, oh, I can never get past this bit. So do you want to go? I was like, no, I'm just watching this. I want to keep the mirage up. But I think seeing her play it, that's when it started to make sense. Because it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are, you still get sucked into the game. You know, it's not like you're sitting there doing nothing and getting frustrated. What they've done really, really well in Dawn of War 3 is that it takes you on that journey. And if you're not doing something, there are little things that come and guide you to get you back on the right path without being too in your face and making it easy for you. And when I saw the music being involved that way, going back to what I said earlier on about not wanting people to be bored by it, the way that the triggers work, the way that the different layers work, that's what keeps the interest up. And that's what makes it really appropriate for the strategy game, because every track that we ride is maybe, well, the first track on the planet would be about 4 minutes long. The second track would be about 8 minutes long. And then the last track would be about 6 minutes long. So these tracks are maybe when you land on a planet, there's the first track that you get. So it's not too in detail because you're just finding a way around, seeing what the terrain's like. The second track is when you're starting to get into a lot of the battles. So again, you know, there's a lot of sound design, there's a lot of gunfire, there's a lot of bullets. So you don't want to be riding too roughshod. But again, that's a long time to have a track and to keep up enough interest. And then the third track, which is maybe when you're, if you're a really good player and the planets take, I don't know, however long, 40 minutes to get through, then the last track's kind of at the end of it. That's when the full-on battles are happening. So we call it on a layer of intensity. And the first, I won't give you the names of the planets because I don't know if they've been released or not, but the first planet that we did, I scored it so intensely, the last part, that it works really great. But we all then decided, it's like, you know, for the future planets, it maybe doesn't need to be quite as intense as this during the battle sequence. Because again, we're trying to take people on a ride rather than signpost them, rather than this is a battle. Yeah. It's much more feeling it. You know? And again, going back to when I went up to Vancouver, yeah, it was just really cool hearing the different elements. They really shone through. And I think that's lovely as a composer. If you watch a film soundtrack that you've done, you're hearing all the different elements come into play, whether it's dialogue or whether it's effects. And for the big, it's always the big chase sequences when you can really hear your music. And with this, they've done a great job of really mixing all the sounds in well, so that you're always aware of it without being overpowered by the music.
As you just said, Paul, that's a really good point regarding, again, you want the music to guide the player without, as you said, just being like signposts saying, now you should feel sad. Now you should feel happy. Now there's action. And that is, as I'm sure you're now no doubt aware, that can be a very challenging part of it. Now, one question I had, and I think this may be kind of a dumb question, but it's something I've been curious about. As you say, as you compose the different tracks and then the layers within each track for the different planets and themes of Dawn of War 3, do you come up with, like, the points in the tracks where there should be, like, the triggers, or do they tell you, like, when, or, like, did Relic, I guess, I'm trying to think of how to say this, like, does Relic tell you that for this planet, we want to have, like, three or four different layers to this theme, depending upon what's going on? Or, like, is that something that's on your side of things?
It's a bit of both. When you start out, you were asking me earlier on what the difference between Hardline was and something like Total War. And Hardline was also in layers, but it was quite formulaic in the sense that layer three was always the tension layer, which we called it tension time, which meant that if someone, you're going along and then there's a bit of a fight going on, someone suddenly comes out of somewhere and pulls a gun to your head. All the other layers suddenly dip away, and this tension time layer stays up. Now, until that gun is removed from your head, that layer is staying there. So it might be for 3 seconds. It might be for 3 minutes. So it was there, and then another trigger will get rid of that. Dawn of War, we use the layers in very different ways, which is that it was more a case of what your computer can cope with. So there's only so much music you can load into RAM or as it comes down there. So you're kind of going, well, I don't want to overload the processing power on this. So, which is how you work out the durations of it. But again, sometimes we would add a fifth layer. So if there was a really epic battle and there was so much going on and there was a big orchestral part coming on, for example, and there's not actually all that much orchestra in this soundtrack. But if there was an orchestra part that you really wanted to shine through, then we would put that on a fifth layer. But it was something that we spoke about. Every single planet that we would do or every single cinematic that we would do, we would sit and chat and go, well, the cinematics, you know, the cutscenes where you're not doing anything, you're just watching it for a minute. Say you've finished and you've won a you've won a planet. So then this animatic comes up for a minute. That is a stereo to all intents and purposes because you're not having any input into it. So you're sitting back kind of watching like a film or like a trailer or whatever. Whereas those battle sequences, that's when we would sit down at the beginning and go, well, we think this one here only needs to be lasting for 3 minutes, say, because my God, the second part of this is going to need to be epic and that's going to be 9 minutes. So again, you're sitting down and working out roughly the minutage, if that makes sense, what your computer can cope with, what you can kind of do to keep people's interest up in the game. But yeah, it's very much a talking point between Relic and me. And I think that was, again, what was lovely and what I like doing. It's about collaboration. It's not about here's a piece of music, take it. It's about here's a piece of music. Then they come back and then they speak to Philippe, the creative. And then he comes to me and then the audio team comes to me. And it's everyone having their input, taking it in this very unique direction so that by the end of it, you've gone in a way that you really didn't think you would. And that's a good thing, you know, because otherwise you're sitting here doing the same old, as opposed to getting other people's input going, we love what you've done with this bendy distortion bit here, but that's too much for this part here. So let's try going somewhere else. Let's try making this unique. And it's really cool because that way you're achieving a sound which you wouldn't have achieved by yourself.
And one question I have to ask you, Paul, when came to, I guess, coming up with the different tracks for the various factions or various planets, like, did you have, like, an average amount of time it took you for, like, each planet or each faction, or was it just up and down, depending on what was going on?
Depending on how much coffee I drank that night. All different. Some of them, the second planet, I hit out the park, like, I just nailed it. I could envisage everything about that planet right from the start. Philippe would give me his creative direction and say, this is how I'm envisaging the planet. He wouldn't say this is how I'm envisaging the music. They were very good at just leaving me to it to begin with. But he would give me as much. I would ask him for buzzwords, you know, whether it was harsh, bewildering, cold, hot, you know, lava, whatever is coming at you. These are just buzzwords, which I then use to kind of get my brain in gear. And one of those planets, to say, I did the whole planet, I think, in about 3 days. And that is really, really fast. Whereas another one of the planets took about, I don't know, a month. And definitely the hardest thing, as they will attest to as well, is the stuff which you won't even realize, which are what I call the stingers, which are when you have won this round, or you've got an energy boost or whatever, all of those little things, the tiny little 2 second sounds that you hear. Having never done any of those before, I was ready to kill myself by the end of it. I said that to them. They said, right, you've won. And you kind of do a doo-doo. And they're like, yeah, no, can we try it? Doo-doo. How about doo-doo-doo? Doo-doo. I'm look, why don't I just play you every single note on every single sound in the planet? You can just make your own. But having said that, again, obviously my lack of vision, because at the end of it, seeing them, so they would start loading them in with the triggers and then showing me how they work in the game. And oh my God, it was worth spending that time on it, because you suddenly realize that it's like Pavlov's dog. As soon as you hear that, it's a real feel good moment, or a, oh no, I'm about to lose moment, or any of those. It really does help. And I think the only issue from my perspective, when you're trying to imagine these things, because obviously the graphics aren't done, it's not like a film where you're watching the visuals, the graphics aren't done, so you're trying to imagine a lot of it, which is why they send me pictures and storyboards. But they can't load the music into the game until they have a rough graphic and a rough frame, and that doesn't come till very, very late on in the process, maybe 2 or 3 months before they go gold. So it's very much a case of, right, we think this is all working, but until we can actually load it into the game and see how it's working with the triggers. So you really are reliant on everybody. It's a very interesting ecosphere.
Definitely. And I just love what you were just saying with, like, those little triggers causing so much heartbreak and challenge.
And yet no one playing the game will ever even notice how much love, sweat, and tears has gone into this.
To a two-note, ba-ba, da-da.
No, it's ba-ba.
That's great.
But again, going back to the, I keep on saying going back, but it is going back, because if you've got the color palette, if you've got the sounds, the weird combination of synths that you've created and morphed into this unique sound, you already know the environment. It's not like you're trying to go, right, I'd like a trumpet here, because trumpet clearly doesn't fit into this. It's not a normal fanfare. It's a sound that you're creating. And I like creating sounds, but it takes a long time. But I think that's what makes it, that's what I'm really pleased about. This is what makes this soundtrack so unique. These are sounds which you won't have heard in any other game before, mm-hmm. or in any other soundtrack before, because I made them specifically for this game. And yeah, that for me is really exciting when you're getting all the buzz and the love and the feedback from everybody that have heard the initial sounds going, we are so stoked. I cannot wait to hear this. Yeah, this is totally in the world. And you kind of think, well, these are, I say fanboys, but geeks, fanboys, people of which I include myself as a geek. But these are people who have been playing this game for so long mm-hmm. in its different incarnations. For them to come along and say that about something new and making it fresh is really complimentary. It's nice.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I guess as we're going to begin to wrap things up for our little discussion today, Paul, one of the questions I have to ask you, as you were composing the tracks for the various factions of Dawn of War 3, was there any faction that you particularly liked the most in terms of the sound design or the theme that you were going for with them?
It varied as I went through them. And this is not a back out. Different people have their different loves. I loved the Space Marine when I saw the Space Marine in the trailer. And I really appealed because it was big, bombastic. The way that I always describe Dawn of War, it's like lemmings going over a cliff. Mm-hmm. There is no winner. Mm-hmm. Every time you win one battle, you go on to the next one. And the next one, war is never ending. It's mm-hmm. a really dark and dark place. Yes. So the Space Marine was always, every time you think you're fighting something bigger, there's the bigger, and there's something bigger, and there's something bigger. And the Space Marine was just this huge thing coming down. But I've got to say, I did fall in love with the orcs by the end of it. They are these crazy, and particularly when you hear the voiceovers on them, for some reason, orcs are cockney. this is like, cool, blimey, governor. But the voiceover is fantastic on it. And also, I described it wrong previously. Someone said they didn't like my description of them as these brainless people running around with no brain, long arms, just going off and having an orc party. But it was very much how I envisaged them, and certainly we envisaged mm-hmm. them. I tried hip hop, I tried guitar, I tried all this. And in the end, it's a kind of post-industrial guitar is how I would describe it. But I picture them as the fun elements of the mm-hmm. game. If you're playing the Space Marine, I picture serious, and Eldar, I picture serious. But the alts, I just pictured the kind of fun running round, creating absolute havoc and riots. And I think definitely by the end of it, I was doing my little orc dance around the studio as I was composing it.
Awesome. All right. I think I am just about out of questions for you today, Paul. Before we begin to wrap things up, is there any part of composing the score for Dawn of War 3 that we didn't mention that you'd like to bring up now?
No, not really. I go back to it. The way that you create this sound, I can't emphasize enough. Yes, it's just me composing, but the whole team of them up at Relic have got such vision. The fact that they've kind of spent however many years on this game, I've been on it for a year and a half, they've been on it for whatever, three and a half years, but yet they have enough balls to kind of say, we want to do something completely different to bring new people into the game as well. Mm-hmm. They've got so much to focus on, but to have the balls to do a soundtrack like this, you don't know whether people are going to like it mm-hmm. or not. And I keep on saying it's unique, but it really is. and fortunately, as I say, they've given me so much support in it, just saying, look, we love this, just go do your thing. And then you've given me input and feedback afterwards. But most of the feedback has been, go as weird as you want to be. Mm-hmm. And suddenly seeing it in a game when you're playing it for hours and hours and hours, it's good when people are coming back going, yeah, I've just been listening to it. So yeah, all good.
Awesome. All right. I think with that, we're about time to wrap it up for today. I guess for the folks listening, Paul, are you currently working or planning on working on any new game soundtracks or new scores in the future?
I have a virtual reality game, which is kicking off. And I have a new very, very, very exciting game where the contract is actually in my email as we speak, which will be for about the next year and a half. But yeah, it's all very exciting simply because when you do something, you don't know whether you're going to be good at it or whether people are going to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I love writing music and I'm a good composer, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good video game composer, particularly as I never played billions of games before. Mm-hmm. You know, I played a few, mm-hmm. but I ban my Xbox and PlayStation 4 and everything from the studio because I just wouldn't get anything done otherwise. So it's really good having this feedback, and that people keep on phoning and saying, will you come and do our game? Will you come and do our game? It's quite nice. So to be able to then pick which the next game is, it's quite fun.
Awesome. And maybe in a year's time, we can have you back on. You can talk about that experience as well.
Make it a year and a half. But yeah, that's great. Stop hassling me.
We're already putting you to work. You haven't even signed the contract yet. All right. I think with that, we are going to wrap things up for today. For you folks listening, I know this is one of our shorter casts, but Paul, I think, definitely has a busy schedule. I won't keep you up all day long. I'm sure eventually you will need to sleep. I'm sure the coffee will wear off at some point.
And end of the week. But as I said, you just finished the last trailer for Dawn of War 3. And again, you know, what's been really nice is scoring all three trailers of that as well. Having never scored a trailer, it's become my baby over the last year and a half. Everything to do with the sound of this game, I've lived and breathed, and you're doing another soundtrack, a film soundtrack now, is hard to kind of get that out of my system and psyche and do something completely different. So this is now a very orchestral soundtrack that I'm doing to try and flush Dawn of War out of my system for a few weeks.
Nice.
But listen, thanks a lot for having me. It's great to chat.
All right, not a problem, Paul. So for those of you listening, be sure to check out Dawn of War 3. Like I said, if things are timed accordingly, the game should be out just as you're hearing our little chat here. But once again, thank you, Paul, for coming on today. I'm hoping that everyone will enjoy the soundtrack as much as you enjoyed making it.
So am I. Thanks a lot.
Not a problem. So for everyone listening, we're going to end things here for this week. As always, if you'd like to support Game Wisdom and what we do, there are several options available. If you'd like to be a guest for a future podcast, either live or recorded, or submit a guest piece, you can find information and links under Submissions Wanted on the front page. Be sure to follow me on Twitch and Twitter at GW Bicer for the latest updates and for our daily nightly streams. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel, now over 1,600 subscribers, where you'll find daily videos on game design and looks at a variety of video games. And last but not least, be sure to check out our Patreon campaign. You can find us on there under Game Wisdom or GW Bicer. Any donations would be greatly appreciated to allow us to keep doing what we're doing. And we hit some goals, it will mean more great content and footage for everyone to enjoy. So with that said, thanks for tuning into this week's edition of the Perceptive Podcast. Have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you again next time. Take care.